All right, welcome back to another live segment of the Michael Garza Show, Garza Media's product. We're talking about Bitcoin being a is for suckers, basically. It's for people who don't understand money, don't understand how currencies work. Look, I don't know how currencies work overall. Well, I do kind of, actually. I gotta give myself more credit. But Bitcoin is for people who truly don't understand that they're a part of a Ponzi scheme. It's a fair analysis. One, Bitcoin doesn't do anything. People compare it to digital gold, but at least gold is something. Gold has utility, gold has usefulness, whereas the entire Bitcoin network, entirety of Bitcoin of what it is basically a series of ones and zeros. You could make the same argument for atoms. It's a series, sorry, for gold, it's just a series of gold atoms. But at least it's something. It's something real. It's something valuable. Truth is, a solar flare could take out all the computers in the world. Could take out the entire internet. And what people don't truly consider is, I don't know what people consider, to be honest. I don't know what anybody considers. What I do know is that Bitcoin's a Ponzi scheme. Bitcoin is digital snake oil. The same people who fall for Bitcoin, buying it at $70,000 or $80,000 per coin, are the same people back in the day who would have fallen for the snake oil. Seriously. The snake oil salesman still exists today, but in the form of crypto. All crypto is grifto. It's grifter currency. It's, truth be told, it is for suckers, and that is one of the reasons why I bet against it. I use the BITI, the Bitty ETF. And I'll tell you why I do it. I will tell you why I use it. The Bitty ETF, and this is not an endorsement of it, by the way. This is just why I love it. I have a personal love for this ETF because it allows me to bet against the price of Bitcoin. The higher the price goes, the more I realize that it's really an opportunity to bet against the crash. Because what happens is when Bitcoin gets too high traditionally in price, it tends to crash quite a bit. And Bitcoin cannot be sustained forever. I do believe that Bitcoin is already outdated in the software world, if we're being quite honest. And there are also, whether people like to admit it or not, other crypto projects that happen to be better than Bitcoin because they've really improved upon it. I still think all crypto is grifto because none of it has any value. You can improve upon Bitcoin by creating your own Bitcoin network and taking the original source code and expanding upon it or even modifying it. But the truth is, you get to the root of all of it, it has no value. None of it has value. The blockchain technology itself is the only thing valuable, and you can create some interesting pieces of software with it to create decentralized ledger networks if you really wanted to. Cool. But outside of it, though, I'm sorry, guys. Bitcoin is, it's just not worth anything. It's just not. Ooh. Now I know I trashed Bitcoin quite a bit on my channel. People have known me as the anti-Bitcoin fella. And I really can't help it. I have so much fun betting against it, I really do. So much fun. I kind of can't imagine not betting against it because it's just so much fun. Like I said, I have Bitcoin already. I own Bitcoin. I have a position in Bitcoin that I bought early on. And I kind of had a feeling that it would get to this point where people would keep pumping up the price. Look, Bitcoin isn't worth anything, and it is fun for me to bet against the downfall of it because I've got nothing better to do, honestly. the bet against the downfall of something that is completely useless. And yeah, and people say that I don't get Bitcoin. I would counter that you don't get Bitcoin. That would be my counter to what to your argument. If you say that I don't get Bitcoin, okay, that's a fair assessment. Maybe I don't, but truth be told, I do. I've studied it enough to understand that it is one of the most clever pieces of software, beautiful piece of software, by the way. It's one of the better pieces of software created. It's really interesting how it uses cryptography and all that. But it is ballooned into something that I don't think it was ever meant to be. And people are saying it's a replacement for physical currencies. It's not true. It's ridiculous. The truth is that you can't digitize everything. I think money is just one of those things. It's just not a good idea to fully digitize. You got to be able to back it up by something. What we're seeing in a weird way is private money. And there's just not a wide adoption. The only reason people get into Bitcoin is because they think they're going to make a quick buck. It's a gambler's mentality. Only gamblers, from what I've been able to tell, love Bitcoin. And most of the people who promote Bitcoin, majority of the time, and it's funny, they are the biggest gambler type people I've ever met. They all just have, they get such a sick thrill from the gambling aspect of it. And you're a gambler if you support Bitcoin. I really believe that. I see guys like Ben Armstrong. He's the butt boy crypto guy. I call him Butt Boy Crypto. And crypto is really just grifter currency. And it's sad that nobody wants to truly admit this. I wish you would all admit this, but nobody wants to. Sad. Sad day. Makes my pee-pee sad. Trying to think if there's anything else I want to add to this. This will be my last broadcast for the night. I do got to go to bed. I got some shit to do in the morning. Well, I got to get up early and start work. And then I have a DoorDash shift later. Not a large one, just a very short one. But yeah. Oh. But yeah, if anybody's got anything to add to this, just let me know. I mean, anybody wants to get in the chat, just let me know. See if my boy Tim reached back out to me or anything. Oh, it's gonna pop my neck. There we go. Oh, there we are. Okay. Here we are. Okay, anyway. Daddy Shome says, I always thought Bitcoin is just a dumb fad. Agreed. It is for suckers, whether people want to. I think most people are in denial who invest into Bitcoin. I used to think at first it was a cool idea that it maybe had some, you know, real world utility. And the more you study it, the more you realize that, wow, ignorant people really love to promote this. It's the future of currency when it really isn't. Daddy Shome also says that if you want a good ass, if you want a good assets protection, why not just buy gold and silver? Yeah. My assets of choice are really any real estate and stocks, you know, mainly just stocks, but I prefer productive assets. The one thing about gold and silver is, I mean, I do own gold and silver mining companies in the stock market. It's been a while since I haven't looked at those companies in a while, so I can't even remember which companies they were. Specifically, I remember they were. I guess they're pretty reputable from what I recall. It just was something I had invested a bit into, but Yeah, when it comes down to it, though, I've made more money betting against Bitcoin than anything. Yeah, Daddy Showman, hey, it's a good comment, brother. If you got anything else you want to add, though, I love the audience interaction. Daddy Shom says the fact that most Bitcoin promoters are weirdos online told me everything. No, yeah, it definitely attracts the greatest grifters that you'll ever meet. Austin Hilton happens to be my favorite of all the grifters. He's constantly promoting what you would call dog coins, basically like Shiba Inu token, Dogecoin, all those cryptos that have a dog on the logo of their crypto. And it's so stupid, man. It's all pump and dump schemes. Even Bitcoin has become the ultimate pump and dump scheme. It's sad. You know, nobody, I mean, I get so much hate from all the Bitcoin bros, and I'm fine with them hating me because I don't want them to like me, because I really don't, truth be told, I really don't care for them. Richard A. also says the fact that Andrew Scaramucci promotes it too. I don't know who Andrew Scaramucci is, but yeah, anyway, crypto sucks. It's a cool software idea. It's a really cool open source project. If we really take a step back, Bitcoin in its infancy, when it first started, it was really honestly very brilliant software. And that's about the extent of it, though. It's really cool software. Yeah, and that's really what you're going to get. Daddy Shom says, I was 20 to 30% REITs, but I thought that was too much. I'm 10% REITs and added utilities. I think utilities are good for income as well. Richard A. says, Anthony. So I will say this, Daddy Shom. First off, I've got a lot of REITs in my portfolio. I'm not going to lie. It probably takes up about 25% of my portfolio, REITs do. But I'm really diversified in the REITs that I own. But they're great for cash flow, though. Great exposure to real estate. Real estate is, I wouldn't say it's foolproof, but it's pretty damn inflation proof for the most part. And the cash flows are really nice from the REITs. Most of the cash flows that I get from the REITs, I just funnel back into other stocks, usually just into ETFs that are really well diversified for the most part. But Daddy Shom is also saying crypto is for idiots trying to get rich quick. Only good for gamblers, which I am not. Daddy Shom also says, yeah, I love REITs too, but I thought I had too much. No, it's understandable. See, the thing is, the difference between me and most people, I don't really care about portfolio weighting at all. A lot of people care. And look, you can, not financial advice by any means, but if you want to weight your portfolio, that is completely okay. I say, though, I just buy and I hold whatever I want. Daddy Shom also says, you own any bonds? Dude, I own a lot of bond ETFs that actually expose me to like corporate bonds, because the ETFs themselves own the bonds. So I got one that's like a Vanguard one that gives me corporate bonds, government bonds, international bonds, like international corporate, international government bonds. I am exposed quite a bit to bonds. I don't know how much bonds in total take over my portfolio, but I'd like to, if I were to guess roughly, I'd probably say about 20% of my portfolio happens 15 to 20% of my portfolio is probably bonds for sure. But yeah, I don't own them. I own them through ETFs that buy bonds, basically the Vanguard ETFs. That's the easiest way to get exposed to bonds, in my opinion, at least. Daddy Shom also says, I was 10% bond ETFs. Now I went 20%. I like the protection, but no growth. Yeah, that's the only thing that sucks about bonds. And one of the reasons why I don't really take that much time to stack up on them. When I say stack up, I mean just basically I don't really buy more than what I have. I kind of just have them because they're good for cash flow. They're good for cash flow in uncertain times. And helps fund my portfolio to a degree. REITs primarily fund my portfolio, but also the bonds fund my portfolio too. So it's all kind of like, it's all kind of one big beautiful conglomerate right there. Daddy Shom says, I love Vanguard ETFs the best. Spider's not bad either. No, Spider ETFs are pretty good too. There's like Spider S&P 500 one, Spider Russell 2000, stuff like that. I own far too many ETFs probably for my own good. I got ETFs that expose me to actual commodities like gold, silver, stuff like that. I also own stocks that are just like gold mining stocks, silver mining ones, companies that are, that do those, that mine gold or mine silver. I think those are always good to have. Once again, not financial advice by any means, not ever, but just philosophy, portfolio philosophy. Daddy Shom also says, yes, I own two core bond ETFs and two corporate ETFs, corporate bond ETF. Nice, nice. I have like too many ETFs for bonds. I just was like, you know what? Let's just, you know, they all were reputable. I made sure I looked them up to make sure they're not like, I mean, most ETFs are pretty reputable, but I made sure they weren't like shitty ones. I can't even remember all the ETFs that I got that were bond related, but I just told myself, it's like, oh, let's just get exposed to as many different bonds as I can. International bonds, the bonds in the US, corporate, government, you name it. Like I said, I'm not the biggest fan of bonds in general because there is a lack of growth, but there is, during bad times, the ability to really help me fund my portfolio a little bit more. So I could take that money and just buy more stocks during a bear market, which is really fun. It's usually in times of higher interest rates is when bond, in my opinion, when bond ETFs are the best, when bonds in general are the best. Daddy Shom also says, own a few CEFs, hold on. I'm not too sure what a CEF is. Hold on. What is... I'm a little dumb with certain things. Oh, closed-end funds. Okay. CTF saving investment company shares are trading in the open market like a... Oh, we're talking like a, maybe like a BlackRock. Okay, like, I think BlackRock is technically a closed-end fund. I think... No... Hold on. I probably do have closed-end funds and don't even realize it. But yeah, like I said, I'm exposed to a lot of different things, just in general. And the level of diversification is really nice. Some say Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger did say that diversification is just a way to protect against your own ignorance. I actually disagree with that because a lot of the things that I get into have a lot of good cash flows. And I primarily am a dividend stock investor that loves dividends. So I tend to go with the companies that already have good cash flows. So I don't just own ETFs. I do try to seek out individual companies that I particularly love and just add them to my portfolio just because they, you know, they pay a good dividend. They got the, they're well established, got good cash flows, you name it. But Daddy Shom also says, they are great for income. Yes, BlackRock has some of the best. I got to admit, BlackRock's got a lot of interesting funds out there. Zonthoven, BlackRock's damn near about to own the entire planet. True that. Here's to BlackRock, by the way. It's not meant to be a good thing, but yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to add to all this, but you guys are covering it all pretty well. I own one. So Daddy Shom also says, I own one tech stock, one healthcare stock. I tried to diversify for income. Yeah, honestly, dude, the reason I say diversification is important is because honestly, I'm afraid to put all my eggs in one basket. I do believe that I want to, each egg that I have, I want to put it in really, really well-constructed baskets. And it's, the baskets are really just a metaphor for a really well-structured company. So The baskets represent the well-structured company. The eggs obviously represent my money. And I want to put my money into well-structured baskets, well-structured companies. I try not to, is there such a thing as over-diversification? Maybe. I do believe there is such a thing as overweighting, though. Even though I don't really truly care about weighting, I do believe that it is possible to overweight a portfolio in a bad way. For instance, some people go way too heavy in real estate to where it's like 75% of their portfolios, like REITs. My alarm went off. So that's, you know, I do believe in overweighting is a bad thing. I do believe that's a bad thing. But I think underweighting is okay. I think you can be minimally exposed to something and it's still good that you have the exposure. I think the exposure is the most important thing, in my opinion, to be exposed to as many different asset classes as you can, just so that way you don't miss out on anything. In a lot of ways, it really protects you against the craziest of times. You know, there's a lot of crazy times. But Zan Thoven says, and not in a good way, of course, yes, we don't want, I don't think I want BlackRock to own everything. They might, though. They're smart, though. They're smart about it because they want to own all the assets. It's not about owning all the money. It's about owning all the assets. That's the key. You own the assets, you own the world. So it's true. It's a fact that it's an inconvenient truth. You own all the assets, you own the whole world. Daddy Shum says, I owned two closed-end funds that have paying dividends since 1970 that most people never heard of, and both have 5 stars on Morningstar. I stay away from commodities and oil stocks, too volatile. That's understandable. So here's the thing. I like being exposed to everything. I'm exposed to even oil ETFs. I'm exposed to, like, even oil stocks. I'm still exposed to oil ETFs that expose me to the actual oil itself. Stocks like Chevron and stuff like that are oil companies. Commodities, yeah, I want to be in commodities. Like I said, oil, gold, silver, you name it. Daddy Shum also says I was going to buy VNQ, but already have 4 Vanguard ETFs, thought that was enough. I mean, honestly, you can never have in my opinion, by the way, not financial advice. In my opinion, you can never have too many ETFs. I want to be exposed to as many ETFs that are humanly possible, as long as they're reputable. They need to be like Vanguard or something like that. I prefer Vanguard ETFs, but I'm open to other big companies like Schwab ETFs. I like the Schwab ETFs, though. I'm a big fan of the Schwab ones. Those are pretty tight. Forgive the mess, by the way, behind me. I just want to say that right now. So Daddy Shum says, kind of like Con Ed also, but way too overpriced. I'm really only interested in stocks that I think will be around 20 to 30 years from now. That's understandable. That's a good way to look. That's honestly smart. You do want to be, like, I prefer being exposed and own. I prefer to own companies that I do believe will be around, or at least be bought out at some point, you know, like, will be so valuable that some other company will try to buy them and own them and acquire them, you know, that sort of thing. So as long as it's a brand that should be around for years. Hold on. My nose is just so. There we go. Sorry. I like Schwab. So Daddy Shum says I like Schwab as well. But they have too many semi-annually. Oh, okay. Any thoughts on WP Carey? I like WP Carey as a REIT. I own it. That's I just is my opinion. It's a good REIT. One of the better ones, in my opinion. I think it's, last time I checked, it's fairly undervalued. I think it's more undervalued than Realty Income. Realty Income is my favorite, but it is overvalued. So I'm just going to let you know that right now. So WP Carey is pretty much my number two, number three, if we're going to really be honest. It's one of the bigger ones. But yeah, I would say, if you're not sure about it, I always say one shares, you don't have to pay a commission to buy a single share these days. So that's up to you, though. That's up to you. I say still do your own due diligence. Morningstar reviews aren't that bad either. You had mentioned Morningstar reviews in one of your comments, and I agree. Morningstar is pretty decent. They're not perfect, but their analysts give you a pretty interesting idea of the company. So, but yeah, there's a lot of good companies out there, a lot more than there used to be back in the day. When Warren Buffett started investing, there were good companies, but not as many. And it just gets better and better with time. I do like being exposed to tech stocks though. So I do like tech ETFs. When the tech crash happened a bit, I did try to expose myself to anything that was tech related, just because I wanted to get tech companies at lower prices that are good tech companies. Not all tech companies are created equal either. Some are good, some suck. The ones that make the hardware though, the AMDs, the Intels, the ones that like the HP computers, Dell, those are cool. Daddy Shom also says, I think WP Carey pays good steady income, but the dividend cut made me wait. It's on my watch list. Wait, so I honestly, dividend cut or not, so me personally, a dividend cut has never kept me away from anything. Sometimes it encourages me to get into it, because usually it's not always the healthiest thing. But with REITs, I'm not afraid of a dividend cut. So that's just me personally. I'll at least buy a share, Daddy Shom also says, what do you think of AT&T and Verizon? They're good companies. I own both of them. AT&T takes a little too many risks. I think they got a little too big for their britches, but they are a very big company overall. They don't just do cell phones. They do phone systems, internet. There's a lot of things that AT&T does, a lot of products and services they offer. So AT&T is always a good dividend investment, in my opinion. It's not real great for growth, but good for the cash flow and the dividend. I like AT&T. Verizon's in the same boat. I think Verizon treats its shareholders a little bit better, though. I'm a bigger fan of Verizon. They got a good product pipeline, too. So, I mean, honestly, they're two giants that I own stock in, so I love them both. That's my opinion. They're both incredible companies. Daddy Shom also says, think Cisco is a good tech company, man. And he also says, can I ask how many stocks you own? I think Cisco's good. They're the king of networking hardware. So, I mean, me personally, I think Cisco's great. I own Cisco as well. You're wondering how many stocks I own? Well, last time I counted, which it's been a while since I counted individual stocks. This is including ETFs. I'm just going to include ETFs, by the way. So in a weird way, it's not as accurate as it could be, but stocks and ETFs, just every single entity in my portfolio, I'd probably say at least roughly, maybe 300, close to 300. I would say close to 300. That might be a little inaccurate though. That might be a little bit bigger, might be more like 270. Could be larger than that though. I don't know. I just kind of gather what I can. Well, Daddy Show, I'm just going to say we do own a lot of the same stocks, but I own a lot of stocks in general. I am really well diversified, seriously. Vector Candle 707 says, lol, I made so much money off crypto, it's unbelievable. You're a joke. Dude, just because you made money on a Ponzi Vector, Vector Candle 707, just because you made money on a Ponzi scheme does not mean that it isn't a Ponzi scheme. Crypto is a Ponzi scheme. You just happen to get in at the right time and get out at the right time. It's as simple as that. If you do not just be, you know, it's a weird like confirmation. I don't know if it's like confirmation bias. I'm probably using the word incorrectly. You can call me a joke all day, but you're the real joke. You participated in a Ponzi scheme and you made money off of it. The joke is on you for believing that it's not a Ponzi scheme. If you made money on it and you at least acknowledged it was a Ponzi scheme, maybe I would totally respect you for it. But you made money on it. And now you're trying to convince other people that they can make money when the chances are they probably won't. They'll probably all get in at the top. What the reason it's a Ponzi scheme, and I'll tell you this, by the way, with Bitcoin, is it follows all the same fucking rules as a Ponzi scheme. Just to let you know. You have the original investors who get in, right? You have all the people who have Bitcoin early on. Cool. Then those people promote Bitcoin and try to tell other people to buy into it, right? Cool. They buy into it. Sweet. So you get more and more people, more and more new blood. It requires more people to believe it, that it's something. The truth is, if people stop believing in it, here's the thing, Vector Candle 707. If people stop believing in crypto, then the value goes down because nobody wants to buy into it. It's all, the whole crypto exchange markets are a pure bob. It's all based on speculation. The fact that you made money on something speculative does not mean that you're right. It means that you just got in right at the right time and got out at the right time. That simple. Seriously. And I will bet against Bitcoin. I keep betting against it the more it goes up because I own Bitcoin already. I own Bitcoin. I still think it's a Ponzi scheme. I have made money off Bitcoin even before shorting it. I still think it's a Ponzi scheme. I have the balls to admit it's a Ponzi scheme. You fucking don't. I'll admit I've made money off of this stupid Ponzi scheme. Bitcoin is a Ponzi. It totally fucking is. And just because the SEC is allowing ETFs of it does not mean that it isn't. It's still, even the SEC still fucking trashed it, saying it's fucking speculative and it's fucking bullshit. All right. Anyway, so Daddy Shom is also saying, sorry, I went on a bit of an angry rant. Daddy Shom is also saying his idea of making money is probably comical. Yeah. I don't know. Vector Candle 707, by the way, guys like that, guys or gals, whoever that person is, people like that piss me off. Like, because they refuse to acknowledge the fact that that what they made money off of was a Ponzi scheme. Yeah, you made money, but it doesn't mean that you're right. It doesn't mean that it isn't a Ponzi scheme. Tons of people make money off Ponzi schemes, by the way. Not tons, to be honest. It's a very select few. The rest of them get fucked over. And, yeah. It requires so much new blood, new people to get into it, to enrich the old investors. You're not fooling anyone, Vector. Sorry. But no, I'm one of those guys that, like, as much as I love the software behind crypto, like Bitcoin itself, like, I've studied the software architecture. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful piece of software. But the Bitcoin itself is not worth anything of true value, so it's like, why even bother? It's not replacing money anytime soon. It just isn't. And it bugs me that people really think... It saddens me to think that people really think it's going to replace money, because it just isn't. But yeah, I'll still own Bitcoin. I still own it. I think it's stupid, but I still own it because... it's a hedge against if I'm wrong, because I'm still love betting against it completely. But anyway, yeah. So Daddy Shom, the reason that we own, you and I own a lot of the same stocks is because I've bought a lot of stocks. I'm, like I said, I'm up to either 270 or even possibly 300 different stocks. And a lot of them I own one or more shares, mainly one share. The goal was to early on be super diversified, and I accomplished it pretty fucking well. And I'm diversified into several ETFs, several stocks. And by the way, the 270 to 300, that count is an estimate, but it's a combination of the ETFs and the stocks that I have. Well, I don't think you, well, here's the thing. You don't have to not own WP Carey. You can own Cisco and WP Carey. You know, you don't have to have Cisco or WP Carey. You can have, if you really want to, Cisco and WP Carey. There's nothing preventing you from having both. And yeah, I'm overly diversified. I'm one of the first to admit it. I love being diversified. I really do. I own several different ETFs, several different individual stocks. Totally fine with that. It's one of the reasons why my portfolio never goes so crazy. It's not like negatively volatile because I'm everywhere. I own as many different things as I can. And so that's just kind of my philosophy. It's my ninja way, brother. So, you know, I've been investing for a while though. I'm a lover of the buy and hold. I buy and hold. I'm a buy and hold kind of guy. I really just I live off. I wouldn't say I live off the dividends, but the dividends are a big deal to me. They're a source of cash flow. So a lot of the companies I own pay a dividend. Majority of the companies I own pay a dividend. That's really about it though. I think if a company doesn't pay a dividend, I am a little bit sketched out by it. But yeah, Vector Candle 707 went kind of silent. They probably left. Because I tend to get kind of pissed at the crypto bros. And Vector Candle 707 is a great example of a crypto bro. I'm not nice to the crypto bros. I really am not. Because I do firmly believe that they, while unintentional, because they believe in it, but just because you believe in it doesn't mean it's not a Ponzi scheme. Well, here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with becoming a millionaire, by the way. Just saying. Yeah, no, here's the thing, man. You can have $1 million net worth, $1 million worth of stocks, and in the majority of them could pay your entire life. I'm not trying to be a millionaire. Like, I would like three stocks to be once three sources of income. So many weird. No, definitely a lot of YouTubers. I'm one of the, I think I'm a weirdo. But I'm not going to try to pressure you to go any specific direction. I don't do that. I think that you should really do your own research sincerely. If you can, try to talk to a financial advisor. That's never a bad idea. But if you have confidence in yourself and you know how to invest, then, you know, do your own due diligence. Always do your own research. I'm probably one of the few. I really do pride myself in being a YouTuber that's not really trying to truly sell you anything that's bad for you. A lot of the financial YouTubers, I do believe, are trying to, with the exception of guys like Strongman Personal Finance is one of the better. Actually, if you can subscribe to Strongman Personal Finance, I do believe he's one of the better financial guys in the game, because he's going to promote Vanguard Total World Index ETF, which I think is probably one of the better ones because you get exposure to 9,000 different companies, so that's pretty sexy in itself. So Daddy Shom says, do most of your stocks pay monthly? No, most of them are quarterly. I have some that pay monthly though. like, I think VSG Properties, if I remember right, pays monthly. Realty Income pays monthly. I have some ETFs that pay monthly too. They're like, those are covered call ETFs though, and I'm not even gonna go into that. I like covered call ETFs though. But you shouldn't, you should only have partial exposure to them, in my opinion. That's my opinion. But yeah, so the thing is, I'm so diversified that I actually get paid a dividend basically every day, almost. Pretty much every single week I get some sort of payout because I own at least one or more of 300 different stocks. So it's like, roughly three. My count might be off, by the way, just FYI. Could be up to 270, could be 300. I haven't counted in a while. But yeah, diversification's the key. I get paid a dividend every single day. It's usually a small, it's not usually anything too big. It could be anywhere. I could be getting dividends from $4 to $5 in a day, all the way down to a dollar. You know, I own as many different companies as I can. It's really the goal. It's really the key. That's just kind of my way. Own as many, be exposed to everything you can. No. So here's the thing. I don't really care about the share price of the companies. I mean, it does matter to me, but in the short term, the share price doesn't really matter to me. I do want it to appreciate over time, obviously, but what really matters to me are the dividend payouts. That matters to me. I know I get taxed on dividends. We all get taxed on dividends, except for my boy, Tim Smith. He doesn't get taxed on dividends because he has them in some sort of Canadian IRA thingy. I don't know all the details. Like he explained it to me, but I'm kind of an idiot sometimes. And I don't remember certain things, but yeah, with 300 stocks, yeah, I don't get paid every few hours though, no, but I do get paid because every single stock that I have pays a dividend at during different days of the quarter. A quarter is like 3 months, roughly 90 days. Every Monday through Friday, I'm getting something, some sort of payout, which is really nice. I'm from Oregon. So Daddy Shom is asking what state I'm from. I'm from Oregon. Yeah, love it. But I've gone on here a lot longer than I expected, to be honest. And I appreciate you having the interaction with me, bud, Mr. Shom, Mr. Daddy Shom. Trying to think if there's anything else I want to add, but I am a little bit tired. I do got to go to bed here in just a few moments. I got to get up kind of early. It's like 9:22 where I'm at. I don't know what time zone you're in, but well, what state are you from, big dog? Or are you from the United States or a different country or anything? Or but yeah, I really want to be just a source of education for people. I don't want to be a source of inspiration or anything, because I think all you guys are just as capable as I am to do this. I'm just a weirdo. I'm just a weird guy who loves to invest. This is kind of crazy reality of it. Daddy Shom is also saying, Oregon, I bet, has good scenery, and you are right. And he also says, Miami, and can't wait to leave. I didn't realize Miami is that bad. Well, hey, man, I appreciate you. I'm going to cut this stream short here in just a few moments. Well, I do stream sometimes from time to time this long, but I'm just getting a little bit tired. I got to get to bed. I got one more thing I got to study real quick before going to bed and then going to work. But do you have anything else? Any remaining questions I could try to answer for you, my friend? Anything you could think of, I'll try to answer to the best of my ability. Really, I just want to be a helper. At least, you know, I don't know all the answers, but I really do think I'm a good source of experience and knowledge. And I hope I could be that for a lot of people. That's why I do this show for free, because I do think I have a lot to offer, more than people could realize. More than I even realized. But but yeah, man, if you got any questions, man, just let them all off. If you got no questions, you can say, I got nothing. Okay, so you're probably wondering, so why can't bonds grow, damn it? Okay, so this is a good question. So the reason bonds don't grow in principle is mainly because it's like a loan. Think of it like a loan. That's what a bond really is. You're loaning your money to something. You're acting like the bank in a certain way. And if you think about it, banks get an interest, and you get an interest too, by the way. That's what the payments are for from the bond. The problem with bonds or even giving out a loan is that the principal amount does not grow. And when the principal doesn't grow, that's a little bit frustrating. The interest rates, you know, you get paid, you know, it's a source of income. It's nice. You know, you still get something, but it doesn't always necessarily keep up with inflation. So that's why I'm not a big fan of overly weighting my portfolio with bonds. I'm exposed to bonds, but I don't overly weight my portfolio with bonds because I think that's a bad idea. They don't protect against inflation. They don't grow. You name it. That's the frustrating thing about bonds. So yeah, bonds are never going to grow in principle. You might get better payments during certain interest rate types. This depends, but yeah, bonds are, I wouldn't focus my portfolio on bonds per se, but I still have them. You know, they're a good sort. They're good. There's something. It's really a way for you to get income. Let's see. Oh, another thing is Daddy Shom says, I don't know how people can own 40% bonds. I will stay at 20%. I think personally is actually a good ratio. 20% is fine. Just because of the lack of growth, it could be a great way to fund a portfolio, but it's never a good thing to be overly exposed to bonds. That's my personal opinion. I think 20% is great. It's safer, but in the long run, not really. In the long term, me personally, eh. So, I don't know. It's good to have bonds is all I got to say. Daddy Shom is also saying, are people in Oregon friendly? I depends. You know, human beings are human beings. I would say for the most part, people have been pretty friendly to me here in Oregon. I'm kind of from a smaller town. It's not like I'm not like in Portland or anything. I think people are a little crazier in Portland because a lot of them are doing crazier drugs. Here in the town I live in, you know, people definitely do drugs in this town for sure. It's sad to see the level of drug use that's happening in this town. I don't always necessarily feel safe. I keep a baseball bat nearby at all times, but yeah, it's the level of, let's just say the level of trust that I have. I don't know. If I was to compare, and I've never been to Florida, by the way, I would probably say it's probably less crazy in Oregon. I do admit people on the coast of Oregon do seem a little calmer compared from what I've seen in the news of people in Florida. I know there's a lot of crazy people in Florida. From what I hear in the news, just that's all I hear in the news is the Florida man or the Florida woman doing crazy things. City life. I don't know. I've been to the city, been to Portland. Let's just say I like visiting the city. I would never want to live in it. I'd probably live in like the suburbs if given a choice, but like, you know, maybe like I'd live, be more than happy to live like 20 or 30 minutes away from the city just because of the job opportunities you can get in the city, are really nice. The city I live in's a fairly decent size. I get job opportunities down here if I really want them. I do try to do things that allow me to become an independent contractor whenever I need to be, though. That's always a good thing. But yeah, I've never been a big fan of the city as well. Am I rich? That's a good question. I ask myself that every day. I'd say my income's pretty good. The income I get from dividends is pretty nice. It's not going to pay off everything that I have, but it does help pay for like my car loan. quite a bit actually. See, in a sense, yeah, I got income coming in from dividends. The jobs I work, they actually pay me pretty decently, and I live a very, very cheap lifestyle. Like, I could live a higher end lifestyle. I could be going and buying coffee all the time or buying beer all the time at the bar, but not, no. I prefer a very simple even though behind you, if you see my kitchen, it's a little bit messy right now, so don't judge too hard, bud. But yeah, no, I do prefer a bit of a minimalist approach to life. You know, I make a lot of my meals at home. I shop at Walmart. I shop at discount grocery stores. A lot of my money goes into investing, which in turn gives me more passive income through dividends that'll always be there for me whenever I need it. Anyway, so Daddy Shoma was also saying, will much more afford is it much more affordable to live in a small town with dividends? Yes. I prefer living in a small town with dividends. Reason being, coast of Oregon, where I'm at, I'm not going to specify exactly where I live, but I try not to do that. But where I live on Oregon, in Oregon, is sort of a retirement community, sort of not. Yeah, less stuff, less stress for sure. Daddy Shom, I agree with that completely. That's one of the reasons why I prefer minimalist lifestyle. I still have my tools whenever I need tools. But yeah, you can with the dividend portfolio I have, it definitely goes a long way living in a smaller town. Honestly, having income that's constantly coming at you for the things you own is great. The only thing I really own, like I said, is stocks and stocks, bonds, and all sorts of other ETFs that give me access to other assets, So I hope that helps, my friend. I can understand though, city life probably isn't that fun. I've been to the city. It just seems very crowded to me. I'm not a big fan of things that are crowded. One place I do actually I liked a lot more than I thought I would is Bend, Oregon. I like Bend, Oregon quite a bit. It's just really expensive to live there. I wouldn't say really expensive. It's just gotten more expensive. My girlfriend lived there, and then it just got way too crazy to handle with the price of everything, with cost of living. Cost of living down here where I'm at, a lot better. I'm more of on the southern Oregon coast. It's pretty good down here. But I hope that helps, my friend. Any other questions though before I vamoose, before I hit the hay? If you got nothing else, that's okay too. Well, I'm going to call the stream for the rest of the night. I'm just a little exhausted right now, a little mentally drained. But dude, those are some good questions, my friend. Daddy Shom, I'm just going to say right now, Daddy Shom is the MVP of this particular live broadcast. Yes. Sorry about that, bud. That could be a sensitive subject, I know. I understand. Hey, nice talking to you, bud. Hey, just keep on being a rock star, dude. And just do your best. Really, I mean it. Do your best, and try to be kind to yourself. Really, I mean that. I've been guilty about being hard on myself, and just try to be. I'm not saying like go easy on yourself, but really don't beat yourself up. Expect a lot out of yourself, but don't beat yourself up, okay? I don't know how old you are, but no matter what age you are, man, it's always good. I think it's always a good thing to hear that from somebody. Anyway, bud, I think you got this. I really do. But even if you don't, that's okay. It's okay. Keep trying. Keep doing your best. Anyway, later, Daddy Show. Boop. Later, everybody. Thank you, audience. Boop. Bye.